Well, according to a poll taken by USA Today, America, we're a bunch of liars. Oh, yeah. I mean, not only do we lie, but we're lied to way more than we're even aware of it. In a book that was said that 91% of Americans lie routinely. 91%. That's pretty much everybody but the folks in the balcony up there, you know. 81% say they lie about their feelings, though, that's kind of understandable, I think. You know, if somebody, how are you feeling? And sometimes you don't ask that question. I used to work with a fellow who was a really nice guy, but if you ever asked him, how you doing, he would tell you in very graphic detail. But there's all kinds of famous lies. I mean, some of these we've become so accustomed to that we don't even think about them. You know, some of them, like, it used to be the check is in the mail, right? Yeah, or I lost my email. Yeah, that's what we do now. Or how about I'll start my diet tomorrow? Yeah, okay, that's another one. Or remember when Sears used to be as solid as Sears, you know, and you'd buy a car, we service what we sell? No, not usually. Give me your number and the doctor will call you right back. One size fits all. This hurts me more than it hurts you. I just need 5 minutes of your time. Your table will be ready in just a few minutes. And last but not least, this won't hurt a bit. Yeah. Yeah. Martin Sikorsky, a Hollywood director, once said, you can tell a great lie if 80% of it is the truth. Yeah. I don't know. Jesus might take some exception to that. We are a society that lies to ourselves and to those around us, that does not leave our relationship and our perspective on God very healthy, does it? As a Christian, our attitude towards God and towards others should be marked by sincerity and integrity and honesty. When we say or do something, no one should doubt our intentions. Our life should be one that is characterized by sincerity. Our life should match our words. Our deeds and our words should match. But the world does not see it that way. Somebody once said, the key to success is sincerity. If you can fake that, you can get it just great. Just fake your sincerity. Girolamo Silverado was one of the great preachers of the 15th century. Let's go back a long way. He preached at the great cathedral of Florence, Italy. It contained a magnificent marble statue of the Virgin Mary. It was beautiful. When he started preaching at this great cathedral, he noticed one day this elderly woman would come in and she would piously go to the front of the church and she would kneel in front of that beautiful statue of the Virgin Mary and she would pray before it every single day. He remarked one day to one of the older priests who'd been there for a long time, he said, look how devoted and earnest that woman is. Every day she comes in and offers prayers to the Blessed Mother of Jesus. What a marvelous act of faith. Yeah, but the elderly priest said, do not be deceived by what you see. Many years ago, when the sculptor needed a model to pose for the statue of the Blessed Mother, he hired a beautiful young woman to sit for him. This devout worshiper you see here today is that young woman, and she is worshiping who she used to be. Yeah, as Christians, our attitude towards God, our attitude towards others should be marked by sincerity and integrity and honesty. Oftentimes, the sincerity of our faith is questioned. And why is that? Is it partly to blame because of the fact that there have been so many who have used the guise of their Christian faith to push their own agenda? Politicians, it's amazing, between now and the time that we have our next election, so many of them are going to get religion. It's wonderful, really. I mean, somebody pretends to be a Christian to get a vote, but some will be a Christian to get a date or to make a business deal. You might remember a scene in a Nick Nolte film years ago called Blue Chips, where he was a college coach, and everywhere he went, he took on the guise of the religion of the students that he wanted to recruit. So when he was down south, he was a Pentecostal. When he was up north, he was an American Baptist. I don't know if any of them were Presbyterians, but I would imagine that he could be one of us too. Mike Rocha, who wrote that the most spiritual transformation that happens while people are usually happens while they are seeking parole. He says, theologians might consider studying the relationships between loving God and fearing a judge. And he says, when the going gets tough, The tough get religion. Another reason people doubt our sincerity and the sincerity of many Christians is because of the hypocritical lifestyles many Christians tend to live. It's sad when people sitting in the pews of churches all around the world act holy on Sunday morning, yet return to the normal way of life come Monday through Saturday. It hurts the church when those who profess to be Christians neither follow Christ nor do they hold to his teachings. The Apostle Paul told Titus about such people in Titus 1:16 when he said, "They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good." People watch us. They watch when we claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ to see if, in fact, it makes any difference at all in how we live our lives. Perhaps one of the most popular musical acts of many years ago, you'll remember who she was. Do you remember Britney Spears? Do you remember? Yeah. I had to go back that far, but I figured everybody would know who she was. She would be on television to talk about her Christian beliefs. It was really very touching. And she was impacting the lives of many of the young women in our youth group at the time. And I thought, well, this is great. Until I saw the MTV Awards. And I could not believe the outfit that she had on. There really, really wasn't an outfit. I don't know what it was, but it was really something. Does it bother you that she claims one thing, promotes her wholesome attitudes, but entices a legion of young fans into a world that is anything but G-rated? Does it bother you when someone is insincere, whether it's, some bombshell who playgirl who marries a 95-year-old billionaire and says, well, you know, it's out of love, not for money, or when a person comes to church for the sole purpose of trying to make a business deal? It bothers us when people are so insincere. And if it bothers us this much, imagine how much it must bother God when we are insincere in our dealings with him. As Christians, our attitude towards God and towards others must be marked by integrity, sincerity, and honesty. When we say or do something, no one should doubt our intentions. Our life should be one that is characterized by sincerity. Our lives should match our words. And this applies outside of this sanctuary in our lives every day, as well as right here in these pews. Jesus gives us these two men who've come to worship. So let's look at the insincerity of the Pharisee first. We look at the sincere prayer of the tax collector later. And take from these two prayers, though, the application that can apply to our lives. Luke says, quote, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable." That's the first thing you do when you do a Bible study. You figure out who's he talking to. Who's the audience? Because it's not always what you think it is. He's talking to those who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else. Thank goodness he wasn't talking to us, right? Yeah. So he says, "Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and one a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like these men, these robbers, these evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector.'" I mean, he pointed his finger, you know. "I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all that I get." Well, the first thing I want you to see was the motive behind this prayer. Prayer is meant to be a conversation between you and God. And when we go to our Lord in prayer, we do so because we want to communicate with God, to share our burdens, to give thanks, to give glory to God. But this Pharisee wasn't concerned about God. Who was he concerned about? Himself. His goal was to exalt his already inflated ego. He was convinced of his own righteousness, and he bragged to God about that. In fact, our text says that he prayed about himself, but some translations have it saying that he, quote, prayed to himself. How sad. There was a little boy who was kneeling by his bed with his mom to say his nighttime prayers, and he began to shout at the top of his lungs, "Dear God, I've been really good this year, so please let me get a new bicycle for my birthday." His mom said, "Son, God's not deaf. You don't need to yell." He said, "Yeah, God's not deaf, but Grandma is, and she's in the next room." Prayer should never be about exalting yourself or about impressing others. It should never be about belittling someone else or even comparing yourself to somebody else. Prayer should be a conversation between you and God. It's not about who you can pray, who can pray the longest or have the most eloquent prayer, but it's about who is sincere when they go to God. So often we tend to do things for the wrong reasons. We pray only to be heard by others. We give to the church not because we're cheerful givers, but because it's a tax break. I've always been amazed that when a person wants to make a contribution to some charity, they always have to call a press conference, you know? It's sad. Sometimes when pride and self-glorification come into the front, it is often sincerity and integrity that get trampled on the way. Anybody remember the name Phil Donahue? Yeah. He was actually quite a good reporter before he went on to the rest of his stuff that he did, which got a little crazy. But when he first started out, he was called one night to a mine disaster that had occurred. The temperature was just below freezing. It was late at night. The rescue team was down in the mine. Relatives were concerned about the opening up the mine and hoping that some word of hope would come to them. And so somebody in the crowd began to sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Then other people joined in, "All our sins and griefs to bear." And finally, everyone, all the relatives and the friends joined in, "What a privilege to carry everything through God in prayer." And then it was quiet, and a minister stepped out of the crowd, and he simply said, "Let us pray." And he prayed briefly, but eloquently, for the people gathered there and for the safety of the miners. And Donahue said that it was such a moving moment that he got goosebumps. But the only problem, he said, the camera had frozen because of the freezing temperatures. So he rubbed it against his coat and his gloved hands until it began to work again. And he went over to the minister and said, "Would you please repeat that prayer?" And the minister said, "No." And Donnie said, "Well, I'm a TV reporter. I represent 200 stations. Millions of people will see you. Millions of people will hear that prayer." And the minister said, "No." Donnie persisted, "You don't understand. I'm from CBS. The whole nation will see this." And the simple country preacher said no and turned around and walked away. Donnie was dumbfounded. He had never encountered anything like this before. He couldn't understand it. He wrote in his autobiography that a year later it finally hit him, that he realized that he was witnessing something there called integrity. He said, "The man wouldn't showbiz for Jesus. He wouldn't sell his soul for television, not even for national television, not even for CBS. Would you have done that? Or would you have taken the chance to be on television? Jesus said, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." He's talking about sincerity here. When the prayer isn't for the cameras and it's not for the show, when it's an honest attempt to reach the heart of God, that's real prayer. Because God knows our motive. He knows if you are sincere or not. When we prayed earlier, was your prayer sincere? Did you simply just close your eyes and think of something else when we go into prayer here? Did you talk to God? Did you mumble something to yourself? You can pray the most eloquent prayers, say all the right words, but if your motive is not to reach into the heart of God, then your prayer doesn't even get to the ceiling. And this goes not only with our prayers, but with every aspect of our Christian life. God knows why you do what you do. Oh, you can put on the best exterior. You can fool some of the best. You can even fool the preacher, and it might get you pretty far. But God knows not only what you do, but He knows why you do it. Warren Wiersbe, in his book on being a servant, said, quote, "If our motive for serving is anything other than the glory of God, what we do will only be religious activity and not true Christian ministry. A counterfeit bill can do a great deal of good when it passes hand to hand, but when it hits the bank, the final place of judgment, it's rejected." Now, God knows if you are authentic or not in your prayers. If you're giving and in your worship, I mean, how sincere is our worship? That's a good question. Let me ask you, what is your motive for being here this morning? Did you come to church to worship God? Or did you come to see what we were going to do here today, what everybody was going to be wearing? Did you come to hear the word preached and to be made into a better disciple? Or did you come so that others would see you and say, well, you know, he's really a good person? Because you know what? Eventually, the insincerity shows through. And we look on the outside, but God looks into the heart. Leonardo da Vinci took 7 years to paint his famous picture, The Last Supper. 7 years. He used living people to depict the figures representing the 12 apostles in Christ. He started the fresco with Christ, and it is reputed to be viewed hundreds and hundreds of times, men looking on who, well, they see this beautiful face, innocent, and they see what they're looking for, the face of Christ, unaffected by sin. Now, eventually, he found a young man, 19 years old, and for the 6 months, he worked on the face and the demeanor of Christ, using this man as his model. And over the next 6 years, he found appropriate people to represent each of the apostles, with a space left for the figure of Judas, which he left because it was going to be the final piece of his masterpiece. And for weeks, he searched in vain for a man with a hard, calloused face, a countenance marked by scars of avarice and deceit, a man who could depict this man, who could betray his best friend. And after a lot of discouragement, word came to him. There was a man whose appearance might meet the requirements. He was in a dungeon in Rome, sentenced to die for a life of crime and murder. And when Da Vinci arrived, he found this was the epitome of what he was looking for, a man who was wretched and unkept and vicious, the perfect Judas. And so under a special order of the king, the man was taken to Milan, where the fresco was being painted. And when the picture was finally finished and the wardens came to Rome to retrieve their prisoner, the man, as he was leaving, turned to Da Vinci and says, "Don't you recognize me?" he said. Leonardo replied, "I've never seen you before in my life." The man broke down. He said, "I have sunk so low. 7 years ago, you used me to paint the face of Jesus." Yeah. Man looks on the outside, but God sees the heart. He's not interested in what we look like or where our heart is, what our attitudes are. This morning's gospel reading, Luke 18, Jesus focuses on prayer, using the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector to encourage us to come to God with the right attitude. We can fool our friends. We can fool ourselves. We can never fool God. Let us pray. Our Father, we want where our hearts are, our attitudes, to be in the right place. You are worthy of the praises that we bring, and we sing of your mercy, we tell of your glory, we speak of your greatness. We need only cry aloud, and you hear us, O God. You send your Spirit as our comfort and our strength, and we dwell forever within your enfolding protection through our faith in Jesus Christ. We truly are the tax collector. We are nothing. Sinners, every one of us, and your greatness and your glory and your grace covers all of that. And we thank you for it. Help us to embrace who we are and to sincerely turn ourselves to you over and over and over again, finding your wonderful warmth and love wrapping around us once again. We make these prayers, we make all of our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.